A Gathering of Days, A New England Girl's Journal, 1830 to 1832. A novel by Joan W. Bloss. Chapter 5. Thursday, December 23rd, 1830. We hear that even Winnipesaugia is now frozen over. On our pond each afternoon, the older boys gather after school to try their skill at skating. They boast that when they are dry and thirsty, they only kneel at the edge of the ice and there find water to drink. These occur at the northern part where underground streams flow through the winter and run into the lake. "'Tis icy water and clear," I told Father of their sport, and that I thought it foolishness to skate there where the ice is thin, risking likely life and limb to skate a simple thirst. I'm sorry, to slake a simple thirst. He only laughed and rumpled my hair. "There now, miss, I did the same and lived to tell about it." I think he'd not make light of where of it were I to be the skater. Friday, December 24th, 1830. When I came down to the kitchen this morning, I discovered the following deftly penned by Father. It requires but little discernment to discover the imperfections of others, but much humility to acknowledge our own. Under it, ever so slightly sketched, the figure of a skater disported, and the initials CH, which are both Father's and mine. Saturday, December 25th, 1830. We attended services, this being Christmas Day. Can there, I wonder, be a chill more fierce than that which gathers in a building all week, then hurls itself, as if too long caged, at those who venture in? Although we wore our heaviest clothing, it availed us not. The wooden pews gave forth great chill, and the flooring, tightly laid, creaked when we walked across it. 'Tis much like a winter Sabbath misplaced, and Sabbath it is tomorrow. Later, our Father read from the Bible, as he often does. When it came time to prepare our meal, Maddie helped me to set things out. A loaf of bread baked yesterday, mugs of cider, and our own good soup, which I made in November. And we've had frozen in the buttery for these winter days. That is referring to the soup that was made in November. It had been frozen in the buttery for these winter days. Okay. So we dined most plentifully, grateful for the warmth of home, all mindful of the newborn babes born in Bethlehem long ago and the sweet young mother. Monday, December 27th, 1830. I was startled to think this morning. I saw my phantom again. This time it proved a phantom. An upright stump, seen through flung snow, revealed as being naught but that when the wind subsided. Asa promises, the first he can, that he will venture in the woods to see if the quilt be taken. There've been these 2 weeks past reports of modest theft. A chicken here, some dried roots there, the largest the shipman's pies. We know, she scratched through the word no, presume this the work of our phantom, and do not speak of it. Once I asked Asa about his thrashing, and had it been very painful. Skin soon cools, he said with a shrug, and I had rather accept a beating than, by my denial, risk another's life. Wednesday, December 29th, 1830. The quilt we left for the phantom is gone. Likewise, the trail of footprints and every other sign. So said Asa yesterday, after he went to the woods. He thinks the prints to have been erased. Mayhap with a log or stone, but certain it is that care was taken and that the stranger is gone. With Asa's words, I felt released, even as if my feet would fly, which have been heavily frighted during these past weeks. Then I thought of he who must travel slowly over frozen ground and an unknown land. May he enjoy safe transport, I prayed, a safe end to his journey. Saturday, January 1st, 1831. A fair day, sparkling and bright, the first of this new year. The snow has drifted in the yard out front, and sun and cold conspire together to make a glistening crust. In other years, we've had more snow, but seldom is it so cold. Turn about, and each in turn. Now you shall watch and shall cook, and here's to the evening meal. Thus Father announced a holiday in the New Year's honor. How I regaled us, Maddie and I to watch his hands, so used to the plow, curve to woman's implements, and awkwardly employ them. Let me explain that, since I read it wrong. Maddie and Catherine regaled. They enjoyed watching their dad, who was so used to the work that traditionally men do, plowing and working outdoors, now awkwardly do the work that is traditionally in that time a woman's work, cooking and being in the kitchen. He awkwardly did that. And he enjoyed. He just awkwardly did it. Okay, let's continue. After we ate, I took up my writing, and though I encountered M to knit, she now lies curled on the settle, neither at work nor sleeping. She does not like to go up alone, especially when 'tis dark. So she avoids it, waiting in this way until I close my book. Then together we'll climb the stairs, first bidding Father a soft good night. And well I know, as we kneel to our prayers, saying them fast, for the floor is cold, we shall hear him here below, covering the fire against the backlog, and always the last to bed. Monday, January 3rd, 1831. Teacher Holt in school today read from the newspaper. Wednesday, January 5th, 1831. A spoon broke in my hand this morning. There were six now to be remolded, and scarcely as many whole. The tinker will have much work when he comes. Winter is hardly halfway through. Already I long for its close. Thursday, January 6, 1831. Snowed last night. It is fully up to the sills in front, and well over that at the back of the house, where the wind blows up from the hill. To keep the path to the barn door clear is the greatest struggle. Father says he sometimes wishes they'd set the buildings closer. I would have too, were it up to me. But your mother was all against it. It wouldn't have been so pretty. She thought, nor taken advantage of the granite ledge before the center door. Once, he said, she had a way with her, a small, little thing to look at her, but she mostly got her way. That is so hard to imagine, the day before I ever was born. Mother and father were young then, so happy and laughing in all their pleasure. That is the end of chapter 5.